This is the Final Round Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, episode number 41 on deck for us here on this Thursday, the North Park Building at Academy Square. Excited to have everybody along for the ride tonight. Jason Oldfield joining us here in studio. And Jason has been frantically working for 2 weeks now that he found out that we didn't have a show last week and they were going to be on to recruit somebody to come on and hang out with us for the night. And we have found Chris Van Balen to come and talk with us for a little while about the season. He's already been out a couple times with his Monte Carlo. Got a chance to run a Cayuga, and he's going to be busy this weekend running Friday at Lancaster with the TNT series and then on Saturday over at Empire Dragway. He's waiting in the wings. Jason, how's your week been?
Well, my week has been okay, kind of busy, but yeah, overall not too bad. I will say that I'm enjoying the weather now. Finally, we got some nice weather here, and tracks are open up, and I'm going testing tomorrow. I'm going to Empire tomorrow to go testing. So it's actually nice, the fact that we can finally get the race cars out around here. It's been pretty crazy.
Well, the folks in Canada have had better luck than you have in terms of getting races. And Chris Van Balen waiting in the wings. Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. You've already got a couple races in this year right here.
Oh, yeah, luckily.
Yeah?
I had to put snow tires on to do it, but we got down the track.
Came over to the States to run at New Media, had a couple of passes at Cayuga. How did all the postseason work shake out once you got to the track?
Oh, actually really good. I had to change a couple things after I got it going, but other than that, cars same as it has been for the last 30 years.
Well, that's always a good start. We were talking before the show got going that now the chosen weapon is the Monte Carlo, getting rid of the Mustang, and had a little bit of success building cars and some of those cars to make it into victory lane as well. We'll get into all that stuff as we go, but I know Jason always chomping at the bit to ask the first question out of the gate, and it's always, how did you get into drag racing to start with?
My father. He raced for many, many years, and I was born into it. Actually, my mother was pregnant with me, bracket racing an old Dodge truck. So, it's literally in my blood.
That's awesome.
I would say you weren't conceived in the old Dodge truck, were you?
Jesus. You know what? I might have been. It's a possibility because, you know, my birthday's in November. If you do the math, I'm a Valentine's Day baby. So it's, yeah, that's how it goes.
Wow. So is that truck still around?
No. I'm sure it got scrapped many, many moons ago.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
Well, it was a... It was a straight six, I believe. Regular cab, long box, so it wasn't a desired truck.
Now, was that all your dad ever raced, was the truck?
No. That was my mother. My dad raced, he started racing a Roadrunner back in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
And then in 87, he sold that and bought a Monte Carlo. And then he raced that for a year when it was still under warranty. And then bought another Monte Carlo in 1988, and that's the one I'm currently racing.
Wow. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And that car your dad bought brand new then?
Nope. The one that he sits in his garage, he bought brand new.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There's too many of them. Too many Monte Carlos.
I loved all this Dodge talk early on with the Roadrunner and the Dodge truck.
The Dodges, you know, he actually raced for a dealership back in the late 90s. He raced for a Dodge dealer up here.
Oh, no kidding.
Uncle. Yeah, and they were pretty successful. Had a two-car team. Did really, really good.
And what was he racing then? Was he just racing Super Pro with it, or?
Yeah, he was just racing Super Pro with it. We actually painted the dial-in on the 1 year. It never changed.
That's pretty cool.
It could have been a really good hot rod car because they went 1083 every pass all day long. It was the weirdest engine we've ever put together.
Now, does your dad still help you out today?
Yeah. He's actually coming to Lancaster tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
Very cool. And, I mean, that's a story that, you know, we kind of hear over and over and over again, right, Chris? It's
dad
or uncle or somebody got you into racing, and it's still a father and son, well, let's call it family affair, if you will.
For sure it is. It's a huge family affair.
Yeah.
And it's not a unique story, but it's not one that gets old either.
No, it doesn't get old.
Everyone's unique, right?
Yeah.
Like every, where they started, where they started racing and what they've done with the racing,
So now that Dodge, so when your dad was racing the Dodge, it was a Dart, you said?
Yeah, it was a 68 Dart.
A 60, okay, so a good Dart, too.
Good one, yeah, best year, actually.
And what did that have in it for a power plant?
It just had a 440 in it.
Okay.
Nothing crazy.
And so he was racing Super Pro with that. Then the Monty.
It sat for a bunch of years when he was racing that car.
Okay.
I wasn't old enough to drive at that time.
Yeah, so that was just a street car then.
Which one?
The Monty.
The one that I race now?
Well, the one that's sitting in his
car. There's a lot of Monte Carlos to keep track of, Jason.
Yeah,
There's two of them.
So he had the one that's sitting in his...
brand new in 87.
The one that's sitting in his garage is the one that he had first, right?
Yep. Yeah, he bought that in 87.
All right. And then he bought
this one in 1988.
All right. And the 87 is just the one he bought in 87. Is that an 1987 Monty?
Yep. It's stock. It's stock. And it's got 120,000 kilometers on it.
So it's like 2 miles.
Yeah. Basically, a mile and a half. Yeah. You do the exchange rate? Yeah. It's negative.
So now the Monty that you're racing now, when that was bought, so was that an 88? Is that what that actually is? An 88?
No, it's actually an 81 that my mother's cousin actually bought brand new, and he got T-boned in it. It wrecked, took the quarter out of it.
Yep.
And my dad bought it for $100 from the insurance company.
Okay.
And he made a race car out of it.
So that was the plan right out of the gate with that car was to make it a race car.
It's been a race car since it's been 7 years old.
Yeah, okay. And did he race that initially?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he raced it from 1989 to 2002, I believe.
Okay, so relatively recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then is that when you took over the driving duties of the Monty?
Believe it or not, that's when I graduated high school and I bought my Mustang.
Okay.
He sold that Monte Carlo.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and then I bought it back and nothing changed other than the color.
Now that's cool. I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, the car stayed local when he sold it?
Yeah, it went up to actually Chatham.
Okay,
is where it ended up. So,
and it was the same owner that he sold it to. You bought it back from?
No, he sold it to a guy about 15 minutes from us. He raced it for a year, and then he sold it to the guy I bought it from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And did he? I'm curious. Did he approach you, or did you go to track the car down, or what?
I actually. Found it. I seen it at the track, and I was looking at it. I'm like, hey, that's my dad's old car.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, is it for sale? He goes, everything's for sale. Told me a number, and it was $500 more than what we sold it for.
Wow.
So I bought it.
Well, that's very cool. Now, were you really looking for a car at that point in time?
Well,
I mean,
I was, yeah, because I had my Mustang and I was racing it. And I was being fairly successful with it, but it has small tire, and to be competitive with this Hot Rod Series, you got to have a big tire under your car.
Right.
And I was looking for a car that had a big tire under it because I didn't want to cut mine up at the time.
Yeah.
And I looked at a couple cars, and it wasn't the car that I wanted. And then I seen it, asked, and I got it.
Oh, all right. So now that I even know more about this, I told you prior to we going on the air that I didn't understand the Mustang, and now I have to say that I kind of don't even understand the Mustang even more. So you bought the Mustang when you graduated from high school.
Yes.
And you raced it, and at that point in time, it was still fairly stock, I'm assuming?
It was, yeah, I bought it, and it was stock. It was all original, right down to the exhaust on it.
Okay.
I raced it for a couple of years and I raced it in street, and then I blew it up.
Yeah.
And I put a big block Chevy in it, and then I started racing it in Super Pro.
Now, when did you cut that car up? Because you just said right now that you initially didn't want to cut the car up, but at this point you already had the money too, right?
Right, and then I already had the Monte Carlo, and then I was going to cut it up so my dad could actually race the car, because he wanted to put together an engine, and so I was going to build a car for him to drive.
All right.
He was going to put an engine in it, and then ended up putting the car together, putting my drivetrain in it.
Yep.
And I raced it for one season. I raced it for one season. It tubbed and everything.
I mean, that was last season, right?
Yeah, it was last season.
Yeah, and I mean, how did you end up doing with the car last year?
I won a fair amount. I think I won about 7 races with the car. I think I run it up about 6 times with it. And it was 5 or 6, something like that.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's pretty good for a brand new car.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty good. I guess at what point now did you decide, all right, well, it's time to send this thing down the road?
Well, I had it for sale all season because I wanted to buy a dragster, as crappy as, like, as gay as they are. I wanted to buy a dragster. But then I got talked out of that by a couple guys that own dragsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And, one's a good family friend, so he actually talked me out of it. Because he's right. They have a shelf life. They last for about 10 years if you take care of them.
Yeah.
And then the chassis just wore out.
Yeah.
So I got talked out of that, and I bought a big pump gas engine for my car.
Okay, all right. So that, I will say, now that, obviously, at that point, obviously, now you got... you got 2 cars and 1 driver, and what are you going to do with 2 of them, right?
Right. The 2 identical cars at that, because they have the same suspension, same rims, tires, brakes.
You know,
they're a back half car.
Right, right.
The same car.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than the body being different, it's like, you know, you could say, all right, well, you know, one I'm going to take and make into a super stocker, and then I'm going to leave the other one a super gas / super street car, but now you need a stacker to take it places, or... If you're doing that, and you're talking huge money to do it, obviously, right?
So. Right, right, absolutely. You know, and the car was too cut up to be a super stocker.
Okay.
So, needless to say, I had it up for sale all season, and it took till November to sell it, but I ended up selling it.
I'm surprised it took that long, honestly, considering how well you did with it.
I know. Like, the first bracket race I went to at Cayuga with it, I won Super Pro, and I runnered up in Pro. Very first one. It's like, you know, I don't understand how it took so long, but it did. Maybe because it's a 5-liter Mustang. I don't know.
But with a Chevy motor in it.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You can't run anything but that. I'd put a big block Chevy in a Chrysler.
Chris is throwing up across me right now.
Not okay, man. It's not cool.
Oh, well, I mean,
what'd you put the Chevy motor into? What Chrysler?
Oh, I would put one in a Chrysler.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I would. Because not everybody has $1 million to make a 200 horse in a Chrysler.
I got nothing on that.
Yeah,
great point.
K Martin by big block Chevy stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Right? So. Now the Mustang, you said you did all the work on that and yourself. So was that the same true with the Monte as well?
Yeah. Me and my dad built that car. We did everything in it. I helped him do the I was in high school, and I ended up doing tin for a living. So, it's definitely fun.
The Monte Carlo or the Mustang, were either of those the cars that you made your first drag racing pass in?
Yeah. The Monte Carlo, I made a pass when I raced it when I was 16.
Yeah.
My dad had it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I can't believe that it left.
And came back.
Two owners and came back.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's kind of cool.
And, you know, here's the crazy thing about Mr. Van Balen, and that is the power plant in the Mustang was like this, but the power plant in the Monte is like this. They're pump gas motors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's still pump gas.
So
91 octane all day long.
So the motor that you just put in the Monte, was it a 615 cubic inch motor?
It's 615 inches, yeah.
On pump gas.
On 91 octane.
And did you run the car all out when you went out this year at all, or no?
Yeah, I did. I did once. The air wasn't great. It was 2,500 feet. The humidity was pretty high. But you got to take in mind the car's heavy, too. We're talking a big car here. It's 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, on the heavy side.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy for a bracket car, right? I went 929 at 146.
On pump gas.
On 91 octane, yeah. And no nitrous, none of that jazz, so.
Yeah, now that's the crazy thing to me. Now, I mean, to do it on pump gas, is it just, well, I guess the last motor that you had in the Monte, I mean, the Monte ran, I guess, how quickly did the Monte go then?
Fastest I went was 10, it was like 10.08.
Okay.
10.09.
So
132.
I mean, is it all about cubic inches then? Is that what you got to do to make a pump gas motor go fast, normally aspirated?
Yeah, sort of. The engine that I used to have was actually a GM crate engine. It was a ZZ502.
Okay.
I put a small camshaft in it.
Yep.
And a decent carburetor and a decent intake. And didn't touch the cylinder heads. Nothing. And just ran it.
And that's pretty amazing when you think about it, the fact that you can, you know, buy a crate motor from GM, do some minor modifications to it, and put it in a 3,000-pound car and go low tens.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's pretty incredible. So you decided, though, that, that wasn't fast enough for you, or was it you wanted to run super gas? I mean, you mentioned that you think you're going to run some super gas with us this year,
I wanted to run some super gas because, you know, the hot rod's good, wicked series, but there's only, you know, a couple races, two races a month sort of deal.
I like
that index racing. When I bracket race, I throttle stop the car.
Okay.
All the time. I barely run it off the stop.
That's funny. I say that's funny because that's exactly the same way I am. I mean, people ask me, I don't even think with the current motor that I have in the Corvette, I don't believe I've ever made a full pass on it. It's I've at least always had it chipped at the starting line. So I went 930 something, but that was leaving the line at 5,000 RPM. So, I mean, it wasn't even, you know, completely full out. Now, it wouldn't have gone that much faster, but yeah, people ask me, it's like, well, how fast do you go? It's like, well, I never run the thing full throttle, right?
Well, if leaving the starting line at 5,000 isn't all out, holy crap. Yeah, wow.
Well, that's not pump gas. And, you know, trying to get as much power as I can out of a 406 cubic inch small block, so.
True enough. I think I leave like 3,700. So. And you don't even want to know what it goes to the finish line at, so.
I would say, is it cruising through, you know, 6,000 RPM or something?
Oh, yeah, 6,400 all day long.
Yeah, yeah. I'm chipping the car. My car, I chip at 5. I shift it. I'm shifting on time, but like Phil's car, as crazy it is, I mean, Phil's car, I shift at 7,500 and go through the traps at like 78, 79.
My high RPM limiter is only 7,000.
Now,
I could probably tone that down to about 6,600.
Yeah. Now the motor that you just bought, was that a brand new motor that you just bought, or was it somebody else's? Or
no, it was I bought a brand new Scott Shafroff engine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is that the 615? Is that a standard combination that he has, like in one of his ads or something on a pump gas?
Yeah,
or
it's right. Yeah, on online. I upgraded it a bit, put some good parts in it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, small things like lifters and rockers and good balancer and stuff, right? Just to make it last a little bit longer.
Right, right.
As you can say.
And what's supposedly the rated horsepower on that?
They say 925.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is just crazy. And you know, I probably like yourself. I mean, I don't know a lot of guys that are actually racing pump gas motors at the track, so it's like I would have to assume that the majority of these motors are going in street rods, right?
Yeah, it's believe it or not, it is a street engine that they sell. They call it, it's their ultra street. They sell a 632.
Yeah.
With different cylinder heads, but it was a tall deck, and I didn't want tall deck. I wanted standard deck. So that's what I went with.
I would say, It's really crazy. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't call it, like, you know, their Hellcat Killer or, you know, something like that, right? So now the Monte, even though it's a street, well, it's a pump gas motor.
Yep.
Is the Monte still streetable at all?
No.
I mean, within reason, right? I mean, obviously any car now, if you watch Street Outlaws, any car is streetable, but.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go on TV and pump my chest out. And no, it's not going to happen. You know, I do have an ownership for the car and everything, but I would never put it on the street.
Just not your thing.
It's not my thing.
Now, you've already been, when we talked before the show started, you said you've gone into media.
Yeah.
And were they actually racing, or was that just a test and tune?
No, they raced. We got a couple time trials in, and then it rained. It rained for like 45 minutes, or not even, maybe half an hour. And it wasn't aggressive rain either. And they called it. So I actually thought I was in Cuga for a second. I had to check myself. they called it, so trucked home.
Now it's, it's got to be at least 5.5 hours for you to media?
Yeah, it's about just over five.
So yeah, that's a long way to drive for a couple of time runs.
Yeah, I know.
So you made a couple of time runs there. Now where else have you been this year so far?
I've gone to Cayuga. Yeah.
Now Cayuga's been open for just one week or?
A few weeks. They had a bracket race last weekend. So
I don't know how. I mean, last weekend, I think, was the first weekend that Empire or Lancaster had any events. I mean, has our weather here, like, missed you guys or something?
It missed it up here.
Huh.
You gotta remember, Cuga's in its own little triangle.
Yeah.
So whatever's doing around that track, it doesn't get there. It's the weirdest place to race. One minute you got tailwind, next minute you got a headwind, and then it goes back to a tail. It is unbelievable there. Gotta watch the windmills.
Now, when you went to to Cayuga, were you just testing there?
I bracket race. Well, I went there one day. I tested just to get my throttle stop set up, RPM and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I bracket raced there.
And how'd you do?
I screwed up in the finals. I raced a good friend of mine. Actually, I helped him. I helped him do his engine last winter, which is another pump gas engine, by the way. Because you know it's cheap. I was 22 at the hit. He was 21. We both dialed 1092.
Wow.
He went 92.0. I went 91.0. Taking 9.9.
Yeah.
Took 10th out and lost in the finals, so that sucked.
Close race, though. I mean,
and
to be against your
10 mile an hour off.
To be against a buddy too. I mean, that's cool, right? I mean, it still had to be a fun day.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So now, I mean, now we're coming.
It could have been more fun.
It always sucks to lose. I mean, that's the thing that stinks about drag racing is the fact that there's one winner, and you can be happy about, you know, generally happy about being a runner-up, right? But
is there other forms of racing where there's more than one winner? I don't think there is.
Well, you know, yeah, no, but you know, it's different in the circle track.
Go on.
Circles, right? I mean, those guys, when they finish third, they're generally pretty pleased. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like we had this race, and we went for 500 miles, and overall, yeah, we didn't win the race, but we're pretty happy with third, and we got some good points, and we're going on to the next event. And
so you're basing this off what you see on TV.
Yeah, no, finishing second sucks. That's all there is to it.
I've been to a lot of tracks that aren't on television, and there's plenty of people who are unhappy coming from 19th to finish second.
And I can believe that. I can believe that.
There's only one winner. and the people on TV are all spit and polished and told, you're going to be freaking happy with third because that's why we gave you all this money.
But if it takes you 19 or 20 laps to win a race, that's just luck, you know. With drag racing, it's the Super Bowl every pass.
I see. All right.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough.
You don't have 20 laps to get there. You got to win every round. And if you don't, I don't know, you suck. Let's do it. And some days, I'll tell you, I suck. I can't. Some weeks I can't buy a round.
Drag racing is, it's funny because I think on our next show, it looks like we were supposed to be on last week?
Yeah, we were supposed to be on last week, but travel schedules didn't allow that.
Right, right.
So we ended up shuffling to this week, and staying true to the schedule, we're going to be back again next week.
Right, and it looks like we're going to have Mia Tedesco on next week during the show. And I was telling Chris before we called you that, I think it was one of the Biondo races, you know, one of the spring fling races, which it must have been Galat, I think, is where they were at. So she won, I think, I'm going to say it was Thursday. Friday, I tune in, and I'm sitting there watching. I got it running in the background as I'm working. And she goes from winner on day one to losing first round to buying back in and losing in the buybacks. And it's like, that's just how hard this sport is, right? I mean,
that's right.
It's just really incredible. You think overall that, this person, I mean, not to say it doesn't happen in the circle track realm. It does too, obviously. But if you go out and win a race, obviously you got your stuff together, and you can generally go from track to track and do pretty well. But with drag racers, man, especially bracket racing, you just come up against a buzzsaw and there's nothing you can do. I'm trying to think. There was somebody from... what was the last national event? The division event. They were just at, everyone was just at Norwalk, right? And I want to say, who the heck was it? I saw somebody lose first round. It was one of the local guys. It was either a hot rod or a super gas guy, lost first round. And it's like, oh, geez, I wonder what happened to him. I went back and looked, and he lost to a 6,000th package or something. It's like,
oh, yeah. Some guys will throw a mercy pack at you, and that's all they got. And then that'll get them by first round, and then second round, it's
right
downhill.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a tough deal. And, I mean, certainly minimizing mistakes is number one on the list. I mean, you can't make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah. You gotta be OCD, basically. Just repetitive, do the same thing.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, that's actually, I mean, you think about how well you did last year. I mean, it's really pretty impressive. You know, what would you say that, you know, some of your success, you can attribute some of your success to? I mean, to be able to have, let's call it 13 races where you either won or you were runner up. Yeah. I mean, what do you do that you think, like you said, helps contribute to that success?
I don't know. It might sound weird, but I talk to myself in the car when I'm staging. I don't know. I do the same thing every time, all the time. Sometimes I don't know. It's weird. I'll talk to myself cruising up, you know, reminding myself what to do.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, it seems to work. It's like, because you got to do the same thing, you got to stage the same way.
Right.
You know, I touch the, I don't know, it's weird. I do the same thing every time when I stage the car. I grab the button the same way.
Yep.
I don't know, it's just everything.
Well, it's funny. I mean, we all have our habits, and you know, we all have our routines that we go through. And there's no doubt that you know, you get thrown off that routine, it can definitely hurt you, I guess. And I will say that that's one thing that I'm not. The really, really good racers, in my opinion, are the guys that can be completely thrown off their routines and still be able to collect themselves and go out and do well, right?
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
That's something that I've always, I guess I would say, struggled with to a certain extent. That, if my routine gets really thrown off, I'm not necessarily one of those guys that can recover from something like that. But, you know, here I am giving away all my secrets of how to beat me. But,
yeah, well, thanks. Guess I'm chasing you Saturday.
Right. Chris, you don't need them.
Yeah, right. But you know, you think about it, again your routine. It's like, I know one of the things that I do that, and I don't necessarily know how it started, but it's just putting my gloves on. I put my gloves on the same way every time. I put the one glove on, then I put the other, and then I take my fingers from my opposite hands and basically jam them down to kind of push the glove on as far as I can. But it's like I do that every single time, right? And I mean, does it have any effect on what's the outcome of the race is? Probably not, but it just puts me in that mental state to help that, okay, I'm in race mode now, right?
That's right. It's all mental. You know, it's to me, it's chess.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's chess, and you probably hear it all the time that people say it's chess game, you move, I move, and you can actually, you could probably win a race before you even get in your car.
In a lot of cases, I think that is definitely true. It's, you know, obviously a lot of times you get in the car and you make a mistake and do something to lose the race, or your competitor might, you know, do something to make it extremely easy for you. But,
right.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of cases where, like you said, it's set up and going through and figuring out, all right, what's my strategy going to be for this race? And if you just go out and execute that strategy the way you've already planned it out, you'll come out a winner.
Right. You know, I try to do the same thing every pass, same strategy, same, doesn't matter who you race.
Right.
You know, do the same thing.
Well, there's so many tough competitors out there, and you talk about, you know, let's talk about, you know, this weekend, right? The TNT Super Series. I mean, again, you got typically 32 cars out there racing, and I know Lancaster Friday night, it's going to be silly with regards to the packages that it's going to be required to win.
Yeah. If you're probably Friday night, if you're 10 or less total, that's what you need to be.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Now, it's incredible.
Most of your racing, would you say you do most of your, well, I guess
how far do you live from Cayuga?
How far am I away from Cayuga?
Yeah.
30 minutes.
So that would really be your home track then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And are you going there every weekend that you're not racing it, you know, with the TNT, or?
You know what? I actually race at Lancaster more than I race anywhere
else. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, now, is that because of
one of the hardest places to race at.
I guess, is that because of some of the changes management-wise of what's happened with Cayuga over the years, or?
No, it's the fact that they don't have a regular series. They race there once a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, once a month, so they race a total of, I believe it's 6 weekends, maybe 7.
Yeah.
You know, 14 races, that's... I might as well just sell my car for that.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's 30 weekends in the summer, I'm going to go racing 30 weekends.
Right.
Let's face it, you know.
So if you're not at a TNT race, then are you at Lancaster that week?
Yeah, I'll go to Lancaster on Friday night, or if St. Thomas has St. Thomas up in London, Ontario here.
Yep.
If they have a race, I'll go there for a bracket race. I'll go to Empire, it doesn't matter. I'll just, wherever there's a race I can go to, I'm going to go race.
I would say,
it's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, how old are you, Chris?
32.
Yeah, I would say, you know, he's still, you're still young enough that you still have that really great passion, I guess, for wanting to be out there racing as much as you possibly can, right? And every weekend is reserved for racing someplace. And
oh, yeah.
Don't worry, life will squeeze that out of you soon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'll become...
No, no kids.
Don't have kids. There's a good first piece of advice. But yeah, I mean, you'll become an old lazy curmudgeon like myself and be like, I just want to stay home and drink beer. But it's a great time. It's certainly, you know, there's a lot of great places to race, obviously. And, you know, it's nice when you're doing well, too. And, you know, honestly, it does go hand in hand, too. I know that when I was doing really well, it was also when I was racing the most.
Mm-hmm.
The more times you're out there, the better your odds, right?
The better your odds, but it's also seat time, too, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's a comfort level being in a car, and you know, it's I will say it's like riding a bike. It's amazing, you know, when you sit back in your car for the first time after not sitting in it for 6 months, how it just all comes back immediately. But you couldn't possibly decide that you were going to only get in the car every 6 months and go out and be competitive against somebody that was racing every single weekend. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I would guess, I don't even know, who was the TNT champion last year?
Last year?
I say Chris is...
Shit, I don't even remember.
I say Chris is very quickly looking this up.
Oh, Cooley!
Oh, yes, yeah, that's right, yep. And, you know, Tommy raced a lot last year.
Yeah, oh, fuck, he races every weekend, too?
Right, yeah, and, yeah, I know he's already... Well, I don't know, did he go to Norwalk last week? I don't know, I know he was at, Columbus a couple of weeks ago.
I think he did, but I'm not 100% sure.
No. I guess why didn't you just think about doing any of that stuff? You're running Super Street in an HRA with your car.
The exchange rate. Right now.
It is expensive, there's no doubt about it.
It's crazy expensive.
I just look at it, I guess, and you know, think to myself that you're obviously good enough to go win one of those races, right? And you have the equipment to be able to win one of those races. But, yeah, I guess it all comes down to you're thinking intelligently that does it really make sense for me to trailer down there, pay $200 entry fee, the gas and everything else to win $1,500?
Oh, absolutely. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It is not worth it right now. The dollar is just not great.
I don't even know. What is the exchange right now? Well, I guess that's not terrible, but...
30%.
You're thinking, though, back to the good old days when the Canadian dollar was worth more than the American dollar, right?
Well, that was great. That was great. Cost me like $20, $30 to race at Lancaster.
I was saying, what's a liter of gas these days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, $1.40 a liter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, it's stupid. If I do the math on it, it's you don't even want to drive.
Yeah, I mean, I know our gas is getting up there, but $1.40 times 3.7 times 0.7. So even with the exchange, you're at $3.65 a gallon compared to our less than $3 a gallon here. So
yeah, it's bad.
But thankfully, it's pump gas to run through the race car.
That is true. He saves a lot of money
way. Could have been a lot worse.
I don't think I could afford to race as much as I do on C12.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously when you're, like I said, when you're racing as much as you are, you know, the racing fuel costs do become significant. So yeah, only paying $3.50 a gallon compared to what is it at Empire? $15 a gallon, I think, for C12. So yeah, that's a pretty significant savings you got going on there.
No, it's huge. It's even at $4 a gallon, I'm saving $6.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's a lot for sure. Now, what I guess aside from TNT this weekend, and which I haven't looked at, was the weather forecast? Did it change for Empire on Saturday?
I don't know. I haven't even looked.
I would say I know earlier this week it was terrible, but then I was looking yesterday. I thought I glanced at it, and the weather forecast actually looked pretty good. So yeah, right now I'm looking 86 and cloudy for Saturday. They're not calling for rain anymore. So aside from TNT this weekend, what are the racing plans for this year? Other than maybe racing a couple of Super Rod races with us?
Yeah, I think I might. You know, I'm going to come down and race some Super Rod events with you guys.
You going to try and come out to Dragway 42 with us?
You know what? I love that place. I went there last year. It's a really nice track.
You got one up on me because I have not been there.
Yeah, no, it's really nice.
Oh, hopefully, I mean, they did say that they were going to. The only complaint that I heard was that, I don't know, was there a bump in both lanes or something?
I never felt a bump, but there may be.
I would say that was the only thing that I heard was that, but you know what I was told by the general managers was that they were going to fix that this year. But that was the only complaint that I heard. Otherwise, I've heard glowing reviews about Dragway 42, so I'm definitely looking forward to going there.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. I like the fact that their staging lanes are all, like, downhill.
Oh, so
you just go straight up to the starting line.
Yeah, that's that is definitely nice. Yeah, that is nice.
Oh, yeah, it was really nice. You don't have to keep starting your car and moving up.
Right, and you haven't been to Empire yet this year, so...
No.
You haven't, I mean, neither have I, so you haven't experienced the new surface at Empire, so you don't know what that's like yet.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
Have you talked to anybody? I have to say, I haven't.
I haven't either. I haven't talked to anybody that's in there.
Well, that's interesting. We'll have to do a little bit of research to find out what the reviews are. I mean, I saw pictures of guys doing wheel stands and stuff, and I saw the video of the guy pulling the axles out of his car. Or I don't know. I take that back. I don't know if he broke the axles or if he broke all the wheel studs.
Either way,
it wasn't a super fast car. But it looked like he potentially was spinning the tires and it went into wheel hop. And my guess is probably what happened is he broke them all on one side and then broke them all on the other side. So initially I just saw the pictures, but then, my son actually sent me the video. I'm not sure where he got the video from, but, yeah, he actually got the video of it. So hopefully the track will be good for you guys though this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. It looks good from all the pictures I see. So
it does look good from the pictures, yes. And I'm happy that they cut the new turn off in as well. I don't know if racing 8th mile. My guess is that with your car being heavy, you probably couldn't have made that first turn off either.
Before I was able to, yeah.
Oh, could you really?
Oh yeah.
Easily?
Easily.
Wow, I don't know how that's possible.
At 103, it's easy.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I'm not running that much faster than you in the 8th mile speed-wise. And, yeah, I mean, I will say that I could make it, but I had to get on the brakes fast. Fast and hard to be able to make that first turnoff. And if I waited for a second, nope, too late. You blew it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so that was the thing I always hated then. It's like, then you got a 20-second coast to the turnoff at the end.
I know.
Oh, we can run faster. I'm like, I can't run any faster. I mean, not when I'm losing power at half track. so, yeah, I'm looking forward to using the new turnoff and not having to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's nice.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have a new track, or a nice track, I guess, where they're putting some money into it and making improvements. But, you know, Lancaster, I guess they did some things to track, too.
Yeah, it was interesting when you said that was one of the toughest places that you've had to race. What makes that place so challenging?
The racers.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, they're just good. You got to be good to win there. It's tight. It's fast. It's just a different race. Like, you got to be on and you got to be there. Like, it's a hard race.
Yeah, it is. It is strange. I have to say, Chris, that, you know, I never, I guess, really thought about it. I always attributed it to just being eighth mile. And there's obviously tight races at Empire too, and maybe it'll get tighter now that they're racing eighth mile more, but it definitely seems like the races at Lancaster were just tighter than they are at Empire in general.
Oh yeah. And a lot of those guys, that's the only track they race at, so they get good at it.
Right. Yeah, it really is amazing the difference. I mean, I grew up basically racing at Lancaster and then went to Empire, moved away and went to Empire, and didn't go back to Lancaster for quite some time. And when I pulled back onto the track, I was like, wow. I mean, the groove here is narrow. The track itself is so narrow from wall to center line. It's really incredible how, I guess, confined you are in that facility. But, you know, you race there every week. You don't know any better.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't register.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't register. But, yeah, then you start traveling. You're like, why is this wall right here? Why can I reach out my window and literally touch people that are at the wall watching me, you know?
That's the crazy part. It's so tight, you know. It's kind of cool too. You look over there and you're racing, and there's guys standing on the sidelines betting.
Right.
You know, you see they're flashing the money, pointing at you. It's like, yeah, I hope I win.
Right.
You know. So.
Well, I will say that I've always, whenever I see the guys betting and I see him pointing in the other lane, I always think to myself, it's motivation for me. I'm always like, oh, you just lost your money, pal.
I know. I know the one guy. The one night at Empire, he told me I won him $200. I asked him for my cut.
I would say, did you get a cut?
No. No. So that kind of sucked. Yeah, but it was kind of cool. You know, the locals down there are cheering for me.
Right.
That was kind of cool.
So now are you working tomorrow, or are you loaded up and coming down early? Or
My car is loaded right now. I got to work half a day.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to work half a day, and then...
And then you're camping out, right?
Yeah. I'll sleep in my trailer and...
Now, are all you guys typically camping out at Empire? So you leaving Lancaster and then making the trek to Empire and then camping out there?
I'm not sure. It depends. You know, sometimes I'll go to John Jablonski's house for the night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
go there.
He's basically on the way. And
he's on the way anyways, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I haven't talked to John, but I'm sure John's ready to go for tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, I would imagine he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't even take his car out of the trailer this winter.
Well, we'll have to get him on the show and ask him.
Yeah, ask him if he's ever taken his car out of his trailer.
Yeah. All right, well, anything else, Chris Marquardt, that you'd like to cover that we didn't?
No, I wish you the best of luck, and I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. I certainly hope that you come back on with the tracks that you're going to. We don't get we don't have a strong foothold at some of those places, like the one in you talked about St. Thomas and some of these other tracks.
Right.
So it'd be cool to keep in touch through the summer, how you're doing, how things are progressing,
sure.
and hear about how some of those tracks are doing, because the more tracks we have to talk about, the better I think it is for the folks that are listening, and maybe people want to go check those tracks out.
Absolutely.
I know
Cougar's got an NHRA National Open this year.
Yeah, they had one last year too, right?
They had one last year and the year before,
Yeah.
Third year. So that's kind of cool, getting some great points, but...
Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of in terms of helping keep the car out there? I know you talked at length about your dad was pretty active in terms of helping you. Do you have any sponsors, backers, partners, buddies, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, my work sponsors me, Viro Niagara Heating and Air Conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they sponsor me. They help me out. Matt's Auto Service, a friend. runs an automotive shop around the corner. He helps me out a lot. He gives me oil for my car.
That's
huge.
Yeah, that's a big sponsorship right there.
100 liters, so we'll say 100 quarts of oil through the car a year.
Wow.
So I change the oil a lot. Like, it's, to me, oil is 10 times cheaper than an engine. All day
Very
long.
True. Very true.
No. I'd rather spend that, you know, do that to it than have to buy an engine every year, because my pockets are not that deep.
Sure.
Like, I got long arms and I can definitely hit the bottom.
How about any sweethearts or anything you wanted to mention?
Oh yeah, my girlfriend, she goes and helps out a lot. She goes and picks up car parts to me all the time in the States. So that's definitely huge, because I can't make it there a lot of days. And yeah, definitely, if she wasn't going around getting me all my stuff, then half the times I won't make it to the track. So that's definitely a huge help. I got to put a tire on her car now, because it's bald. So I was just kind of looking at it tonight, earlier.
I would say you need to stop walking around. The more you walk around, the more stuff you'll find to do.
Oh yeah. One tire on it, and it'll be good till it needs a set of brakes again.
And to answer your question that you had prior to us going on the air, yes, you were the absolute last choice that I possibly had to come on the show for a guest this evening.
That's awesome.
Don't. What are you doing?
I knew it. When you messaged me at like 2 or 3 o'clock, and you're like, "Oh, you want to go on podcast night at 7? I'm like, "Oh yeah, last choice."
You were not last choice at all, Chris.
I was at 3 in the morning, desperateness.
No, not at all. There was a good reason why I asked you, because I knew I could have a conversation with you, which a lot of the guys I can't. And
think about it this way: the only reason that you were the last choice was because you said yes.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there would have been somebody behind you if not.
Perfect.
No, you would be a good guest on the show. That's why I asked you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I know I would have been a good guest.
And it worked out well, because I knew you were going racing at TNT tomorrow and Saturday. So how a better way to have a show than to talk to one of the racers that's competing at this weekend's races, right? So
right.
Yeah. So there was reason behind my madness.
Huh. That's awesome. Yeah, because it's pretty good series that Ted puts together there. So
yeah, $1,000 is guaranteed now.
It's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Makes that drive a little easier.
Oh yeah, it does. Other than the you know, now $130 entry, you know, for you guys it's only $100,
but right.
You know, add that great government tax on there.
But the I will say the round money's going up, right?
Round money went up, yeah. Yeah.
So $1,000 guaranteed, round money went up, and I will say that I think Ted is doing what my competitors really are begging me to do too, and that's increase the entry fee to increase the purse.
I don't even know what you guys charge to enter or pay out.
So we have been charging $75 to enter, and then doing a separate $25 Calcutta, which 90% of the racers enter the Calcutta too. So basically everybody's in for $100, and we were paying just from our purse without the Calcutta, typically $850 to win for less than 16 cars. It's $1,000 once it hits
That's
17
really
cars.
Good.
And but everyone's doing the Calcutta. So generally if you win with the Calcutta, you are going home with $1,100 to $1,200.
Oh, that's killer.
For 4 rounds. So, yeah, I mean, we have a pretty good payout, and it's really because of our sponsors, you know, Tread City and Uncle Bob's and Banner and some of the other places that we can do that. If it wasn't for those sponsors, we wouldn't be able to pay that kind of money. Ted's just done a great job of the series, that he's really grown it organically, that he's guaranteeing himself to get, you know, 30 cars out at every single race.
Week in, week out.
Yeah.
He always gets the cars.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so...
You know, he draws the really good racers.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah,
he draws good racers.
And, And he does a great job running the series. I mean, he does a good job marketing it. He's a good job organizing it.
Absolutely.
I've asked him to put him out of my misery and to take over the Super Gas series, but he won't do it.
I don't know if I'd want to go that fast in a Datsun, so understandable.
That'll be interesting. Interesting to see how you end up doing this weekend, but I'm sure you'll do good. You do good every weekend you go out.
Oh, I get lucky every weekend, so yeah.
I guess it's better.
I only won once in the States last year, and it was at Empire, so definitely got to change that.
See if you can repeat this weekend.
Hey, it'd be a good weekend to repeat. That's for sure.
Right.
I like your money. I make 30%.
Right.
it's like winning the lottery over there.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out for a little while. For sure. Good luck this weekend. Let us know how you make out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Hey. No question, man. Anytime.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Good luck. We'll see you later.
Yeah. We'll see you.
Hey, take care.
Yep.
Yeah, there goes Chris Van Balen. Checking in as he gets ready to go into battle this weekend, first with the TNT Super Series at Lancaster, and then Saturday going to be racing at Empire with his Monte Carlo that he made his first pass in when he was 16 years old. His dad used to drive it. The thing got sold and then sold again, and he was able to track the car down, and everything was essentially the same on it. So pretty cool story with the car. Big GM fan. I don't think anybody's in question about that.
I love the fact that it's a pump gas motor. I mean, that for me is just really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
614
cubic inches. 615 cubic inches. Yeah. But I mean, his old motor that he had in the car too. I mean, he didn't run as fast with it. He was going low tens, he said. But I mean, that was a pump gas motor too. And I just love that, you know, his whole, I guess, philosophy, if you will, is, yeah, I'm going racing on pump gas, and I'm going as fast as I can on pump gas. That's pretty cool. It makes me, to a certain extent, want to build a pump gas motor, but there's lots of things I want to do.
That's a great idea for another time after you pay off other things. Right?
That's right.
there's a time and a place for everything. Well, episode number 41, I think it is in the books. We appreciate everybody tuning in and hanging out with us here for about an hour on Final Round Podcast number 41 here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. We're going to be back here again next week with Mia Tedesco.
I believe so.
That's the plan anyway. We'll be catching up with her. Looking forward to that one. So again, shuffle the schedule a little bit. We were off last week. We're on now. And then we're going to be on again on the 31st of May. So we look forward to seeing everybody then. That's going to do it for us here. We'll see everybody again next time. This has been the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. We'll see you right back here again in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching.